Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And at this time, we would like to welcome you to the IMC conference call to release results for the second quarter 25. This presentation is being recorded, and the presentation is available on the company's website. We would like to inform you that the company participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentations. We will then go on to the Q&A session when further instructions will be given. Forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them. In the conference, we have Mr. Alexandre Santoro, the CEO of IMC, and Natalia Lacava, CFO of IMC. I would like to give the floor to Mr. Santoro, who will begin the presentation. You may proceed, sir. Well, thank you, Samantha. Good morning, everyone, and thank you very much for participating in IMC's second quarter 2025 earnings call. I would like to start today's call by thanking our 7,000 employees, franchisees, and partners who are truly responsible for the progress we have made here at the company. Thank you to everyone. To begin the presentation, we can go on to slide number 2. And before we go into the details, I would like to speak about the journey of IMC and the cycles of the company. Clearly, we lived a first great cycle that could be divided into some chapters. This was the construction cycle, a period of acquisitions and mergers that gave us scale and presence in several countries, but also significantly increased the complexity of the operation. This cycle had a rupture with a pandemic that happened after we had incorporated Pizza Hut and KFC, and it lengthened during the pandemic or at the end of the pandemic with a new cycle, which we have called the transformation cycle of the company. We still had doubts and uncertainties of how the economic resumption would be and the impact on business. But basically, at that time, we clearly defined the main pillars of this transformation, which we had set forth to do. And we wanted to move forward in operational efficiency, the day-to-day of the business, reduce the company's complexity, be ever more financially disciplined in capital allocation and expenses, and of course, to have selective growth. We focused a great deal on KFC in the last few years and on Pizza Hut, but more on KFC. During this period, we delivered strategic divestments, important ones. We left Panama and Colombia. We saw a consistent improvement in margins, in the company margins. There was a redesign of teams, a reinforcement of teams, a debt reprofiling, not only in terms and costs. We substantially reduced the company leverage and made great strides in technology. Now, this cycle is now coming to an end with the conclusion of the KFC Brazil partnership, a milestone that has strengthened our cash position, reduced leverage, and brought us a strong, well-capitalized partner and reduced our need for stock. We have a well-capitalized partner with whom we share the upside potential in this new phase for the brand in the country. We are now entering a new cycle, which is already underway, where we have everything we need to convert our potential into tangible results. We remain convinced that the sum of the parts is greater than the whole. In this new cycle, the KFC deal has pointed this out very clearly. When we assess the importance of the value of KFC equal to our market gap, when we think about the main pillars, they will not be changed. Basically, this is a business that requires financial discipline, execution discipline, and we will continue in the pursuit of operational excellence, financial discipline, and of course, we have brands with a great deal of potential for growth. And we understand that this cycle will be ever more creative. We have been quite creative throughout the years to overcome the challenges we faced, but the challenge will be to be even more creative going forward to generate results consistent with our assets. In this cycle, of course, we want to fully explore the potential of our Frango Asado business, expand franchises, establish strategic partnership, and accelerate build-to-suit projects where we grow with less CapEx, bringing in partners for the construction of the stores, always with a focus on return and generating value for shareholders, franchisees, and employees. Now, after having told you this story, the conclusion of the KFC deal is an important framework. Let's speak about how the quarter was in terms of operation and results. Now, the deal with KFC has demanded a great deal from the team. It could have been a reason of distraction, but it was not. And I'm very proud of the team, our entire team here, for having maintained their focus on the day-to-day operation, focusing on what is more relevant and important. Here we see our revenue, very close to 600 million BRLs, a growth of 4% vis-à-vis last year. In Brazil, we have a revenue of 12.6% with margin expansion in all business units and a reduction in administrative and general costs. It is important to remember that this performance, is the merit of the entire team, but it was also favored by a weaker comparative base in the second quarter 2024. Even so, we had healthy growth sustained by consistent execution and operational improvement. Now, this leaves us well positioned to accelerate even further in the third quarter 2025, especially with the initiatives underway to boost sales and profitability. EBITDA grew 6.2%, the recurrent EBITDA, and I will explain the non-recurrent effect that happened last year. It grew 6% in the quarter and 15% throughout the last 6 months. We also ended the quarter with almost 300 million in cash, 64% above the same period in 2024, with a healthy leverage of 1.7 times EBITDA for the last 12 months. Very briefly, as we always do, I'm going to have a page per business unit. We begin with the USA, where we had another very difficult quarter in terms of sales, with a negative same-store sales, some stores being more affected by reduced demand, and in some cases, because of the macro scenario of consumption in the USA, and in other cases, due to competition. The example here is Nashville, where they inaugurated several other attractions very close to our restaurant. And of course, we have suffered that impact, and the team was not able to revert that trend. On the other hand, despite this challenge in sales, we improved profitability, gross margin increased by 200 base points, reaching 46.3% in the quarter, and we continue to gain operational efficiency, but we have to reverse the drop in sales. We implemented several sales initiatives with a special lunch menu, some specific offers for happy hours. We now see this at the end of summer, and at the end of summer, improving our sales, and something that makes us very proud, an evolution, a significant evolution in NPS that was a record for the period. And we have had evolution quarter on quarter. Revenue in local currency was reduced by 16.6%, but there is the impact of the closure of stores. You can see that we had 31 stores, 28 stores after this, and we closed an additional store. Now, the challenge is a significant challenge. It is for operation and sales. We recently announced the arrival of Soli, our new CEO for operations in the USA. And the focus in the final account is to make everything more profitable. We made important investments in the USA. We have new stores that are still not performing according to their potential. And this is one of our main priorities. Given the geographical dispersion and the different customer profiles in the USA, our sales and operation plan ends up having to be very detailed store by store. And the focus basically is on Nashville, three restaurants which have a huge potential for reversion and results in the short term, stores in New York, Boston, and Nashville. At the same time, we have to evolve in delivering a better experience for customers in some of our iconic restaurants, such as Margarita Villa in Panama, Florida, and One Myrtle Beach in South Carolina. Now, let's go to slide number five. We're going to speak about our domestic brands, catering, Brunella Vienna, and baked potato. We had a good performance generally, especially in the airports and with baked potato. Catering grew 19% in same-store sales due to some of our temporary business that we built during the quarter. We have made progress in the service of these brands, bringing us better margins. Now, although these businesses are not a focus for expansion at this moment, they are important and continue to contribute positively to our overall result. To continue on with the presentation, we will now speak about Pizza Hut. We achieved significant progress, especially in the second quarter. The system recorded an 8% increase in revenue compared to the same period last year. And combined with productivity improvements, we had a margin expansion that drove significant increase in EBITDA. The same store sales reversed the negative result in the first quarter and posted growth, driven by the performance of company-owned stores, which grew more than 8% in same-store sales, and by delivery, which saw significant margin improvement with a reduction in COGS and delivery costs. I would also like to highlight the quality of our delivery service with faster delivery times and higher customer satisfaction, translated directly into increased sales. We continue to develop new sales channels. We have reached 65 stores in partnership with the AMPM chain. We are very excited with the potential of this collaboration to bring Pizza Hut to more and more consumers across Brazil. In terms of KFC, we had another strong quarter, driven by the success of two for 1990, a traffic driver that we were testing during the last 2 years. It had a perfect fit, and it has enormous attraction for customers when it comes to competitiveness because of the price, and at the same time, it is profitable. Now, this balance is always the greatest challenge, and this offering and the way we have prepared this sandwich allows us to bring in more traffic and be profitable. Now, the same-store sales grew a strong 15.5%, and the total system revenue grew 34% in the system as a whole for KFC. Now, differently from the same-store sales of 34%, we have the impact of the new stores we opened at the end of 2024. The highlight was digital sales doubling year-on-year. We're very excited with the brand and confident that through the partnership we have built here, KFC will continue to bring us a great deal of joy and reasons to celebrate in the coming years. Now, to conclude this part of the business unit, we have Frango Asada, the best stop on Brazilian highways. We had a quarter with very strong results. We start with 8% growth in same-store sales, driven by a pricing strategy, a smart pricing strategy, and strengthening of customer recurrence. This performance is supported by continuous improvement in the experience of consumers, recognized by the market through our nomination for Reclame Aqui Award and reflected in the revitalization that we're carrying out in our restaurants. The top-line growth, along with an efficient expense control, resulted in an increase of 25% in adjusted EBITDA ex IFRS 16, in efficiency gains in restaurants and service stations. We had robust growth in digital sales, which rose 52% and represents 70% of our revenue, the revenue for Frango Asado. Payment is done through digital means in this case. We're still very firm in our priorities of placing the customer at the center of our decisions. We want to expand our margins, price intelligence, and resume expansion, mapping out activities for opportunity and contracts that are already ready to be signed to address that expansion. Frango Asado continues to accelerate in the right direction, and each result reinforces that we are on the right track to deliver more value both for our customers and for the business. To go on to the next slide, a very quick summary. We ended the quarter with 590 stores, 25 more stores year on year, but two fewer than in March 2025. Of these, 53% of the stores are company owned and 47% are franchises. Now, all of this, we spoke about business units, the number of stores, and we have a revenue growth of 3.6%. There is a relevant impact of the closures. We closed 30 stores, one in the USA, stores here in Brazil. Some Pizza Hut stores were closed in the first quarter. If we disregard store closures, our revenue was almost 9% year on year. And of those 9%, 16% growth in Brazil and a 2% decrease in the USA. Same store sales in Brazil were positive at 9%, while in the USA, they were negative by 8.8%. Our greatest opportunity for the third quarter remains in resuming revenue growth with disciplined execution and maintaining the profitability level we have improved in recent years. Now, all of this you will see on slide 11 with EBITDA. Adjusted EBITDA reached 71 million BRL, a decrease of 37% compared to the same period last year. In the second quarter of 2024, adjusted EBITDA reached 113 million BRLs, driven by a non-recurring event of 47 million reais. The prescription of non-materialized contingencies for previous acquisitions. If we remove this non-recurrent event, EBITDA grew 6.5%. Another important point in the quarter, we had a reduction of G&A of 14%, adding 25% to our net revenue. Now, I would like to stop this first part of the presentation on business units, and I will hand over the floor to Natalia, my partner and our CFO, to speak about our financial results. Thank you, Santoro. A good morning to all of you, and thank you for attending our second quarter earnings result call. Now we'll speak about our investments and reinforce what Santoro said at the beginning of the presentation. The trajectory that we have been building in the last few years, transforming IMC. And here you will see the movements becoming more tangible and the impact on the company cash. Operating cash flow went from a negative level to 45 million reais in the first half of 25, thanks to operational improvements in all businesses, the drop of G&A, the austerity in our G&A costs, and the work of our treasury converting EBITDA in cash, and all of this has generated these benefits. We have an additional disclosure to speak about the effects of KFC. Now, the company reached 55 million in operating cash flow, showing you this construction that Santoro is referring to, transforming the business units in the company. When we look at CapEx, the investment line, we maintain that selective approach that we have had for many years. CapEx dropped 18% to 56 million BRLs. If we carry out that carryover adjustment, that is to say payments that refer for the previous year, the drop was even more expressive. We reached 25 million, which shows that we want to protect our cash from the higher interest rate with a focus on investment in the maintenance of the business. Now, a comment regarding KFC. This is an operation that has undergone expressive operational improvement, as has been shown. And of course, this shows the improvement in the cash flow of this business, even though it is still negative and needs investments to expand the business. We have had a significant evolution year on year. We continue to believe in this business, on the ability that we have to continue to grow with the partnership and to bring a new scale to the business. And we will, of course, enhance all the flows. Finally, after CapEx and disregarding the figures of the KFC deal, we had a cash generation of 20 million reais. If we adjust this by the carryover figures, we would reach 42 million positive. It's important to highlight that for the second half of 2025, we won't have the carryover effects. The CapEx will continue on that more austere line where we focus on essential elements. And of course, you will see an improvement in our cash flow. Now, we can now go on to the next slide where we speak about our capital structure. You can see what is left after all of the recent movements. Net debt drops to 545 million reais, quite balanced in the coming months. Net debt improved significantly, dropping to 190 million because of the higher operational flow and the effects of the KFC deal. Cash increase reaches 300 million reais, and this will be used to accelerate the amortization of our debt. And in the coming quarters, we will cooperate even more towards a greater debt reduction. The leverage closing at 1.7, quite comfortable and below the covenants of 3x. Simply a comment as information. The company has options for sale of what remains of KFC, and this will have an impact on our debt structure. All of this is reflected in our balance. So we continue to be focused, as we have in previous years, in maturing our cash generation. We have been very selective when making investments to optimize our resources and ensuring we have the greatest return on invested capital in all of our assets. I conclude the summary of the financial part. Thank you all for your support, and I return the floor to Mr. Santoro. Well, thank you, Natalia. We're now going on to slide 14, our conclusion. Our focus continues to be day-to-day execution, sales with quality, with margins. We have that challenge of bringing traffic to our stores. Our business has high leverage, and we have to work with sufficient intelligence to always have margins that will add to our results. I'm speaking from the viewpoint of customer experience. That's one of our great challenges. We still have several opportunities to continue to make strides. And let's speak about the expansion of Frango Asado. To conclude, we're quite aware of the challenges that exist for the short term, but we're quite confident with the strides we have already made and with the path that we are following. Going forward, we will be lighter, more efficient, and ever more prepared to accelerate our competitive edge. The consistency of our strategy, the strength of our brand, and the quality of our team and our franchisees will doubtlessly take us closer to our big dream, which is to be the best food service platform in Brazil. With that, I would like to close the presentation. I hand the floor over to Samantha so that we can begin the question and answer session. We will now go on to the question and answer session for investors and analysts. Should you wish to pose a question, please type in your name and company in the Q&A icon. We have already received the question. I'm going to read it out here. A question from Roberto Investor. In the case of IMC, how are you initiating your evolution? Because the campaign 2 per 1990 tends to accelerate your sales. I would like to understand if there's a specific strategy for hedging to soften out your debts? Roberto, thank you for the question. I will try to summarize my answer. That campaign 2 for 19.90 has a margin that is higher than the average. But of course, we have other effects which are very positive. First of all, we have a positive margin. It's not negative. We make money with each of these promotions. Now, by bringing in more traffic, you can dilute most of your fixed costs. And the fixed cost is very reasonable. Every time we open a store, we know exactly which are the bills we have to pay, but we don't know which is our revenue. To have a promotion that attracts customers that make this line item grow with a positive margin is positive. A campaign like this one, 2 for 19.90, pure campaign. And as part of that campaign, a percentage of the sales will refer to the famous additionals, as generates 35% to 40%, and that percentage can grow. Not only the sandwich, not only the promotion, we have the soft drinks, the fries, and other things. So all of this helps us to drive the issue of margin. If you look at our disclosure, that business unit grew less, but it is also growing in terms of their result. It wasn't only a sales campaign. Now, the transfer, and here we have to have a management of mix. In some products, yes, we have the issue of proteins. In other products, we have redesigned or have had to pass on a price increase, but we have balanced everything in such a way that our mix, as it stands at present, can sustain that 2 per 19.90 campaign positively. I hope to have answered your question, Roberto. He says, considering the evolution of operations, should we consider that you will make other investments? Now, the company has reduced leverage and we have a good cash given the scenario of the interest rate and because of the expansion of Frango Assado that has enormous potential. These are measures that we will continue to follow going forward. We have Luis Santos. Congratulations for your strides. And he has three questions. If we're going to disclose the summarized P&L of KFC separately, the answer is yes, because the KFC has to be consolidated in the balance. And yes, you will see it separately. The second question, this is a new cycle to unharness value. Now, what will happen to your business portfolio? Now, regarding the question about the portfolio, it is our understanding that we have a portfolio that has more synergy than it had 4 years ago with significant potential for growth. I have repeated this constantly. We have intellectual capital, financial capital, but we can't develop several brands at the same time. We're clearly going to focus on Frango Asado, but we don't have a specific action to change our portfolio. What we want to do is enhance the results of the assets under our management, specifically Frango Asado, where we see a greater capacity to grow. And we will do this with great discipline, of course, depending on our cash and the conditions of CDI and the macro scenario. I'm going to consolidate the next three questions. that speak about what you have already explored, investment in other businesses. I think I touched upon this very quickly. What I can say is that we will always analyze and assess opportunities that would make sense for us, but our background has shown this, and a good example was a sale of the operation of a restaurant in the USA. This was not part of a broader strategy, but we saw that opportunity with a super attractive offer, so we carried on with the sale. So we will always consider opportunities in our portfolio. At the moment, we have nothing to share with you. Another question from Bradesco. Well, the macroeconomic situation in the USA and a drop in demand. A question from Luis. Thank you, Luis. The scenario is somewhat more restrictive in truth, but what we believe, Luis, is that in the USA, we have a great deal of opportunities in-house. We have already seen some enhancements impacting the results and sales. The example that I gave you of having a more competitive environment at lunchtime, having specific happy hour promotions. I see that despite having a non-favorable macro scenario, there's a great deal of work in-house that will enable us to deliver better sales if we do our homework properly. Very well. Do we have any additional questions? With this, we would like to go on to our last slide. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for your attendance. Thank you for the questions. And as is traditional, we always end up with a promotion, the large pepperoni pizza from Pizza House. Marvelous, only at $69.90. Such a good product at such a good price. So don't miss this opportunity. Have an excellent day and enjoy the pizza. The IMC conference call ends here. We would like to thank all of you for your participation. Have a very good day.